Good to see everybody here today, and it's an honor and a privilege to be asked to speak in this meeting this week. And ask everybody to pray for me as well as all those that will be speaking this week, and pray that we have a good meeting and a lot of good will be done from it. The title for our lesson today is The Trinity and How the Holy Spirit Helps Us. And I'll be honest with you, I probably spent more time on this lesson than anyone I've ever done, but I still don't feel like I got a great handle on it. And when I get through with it, y'all may say, well, I got more questions than I do answers, but that may not be a bad thing either. First of all, this diagram, Renee found this on the internet, sent it to me, and a couple of days later, Alan found it, sent it to me, so I thought it would be a good one to use. It kind of shows us about the Trinity and kind of how to kind of look at it, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, how they glorify each other. And then in a few minutes, we'll look at some of the passages that talks about the oneness of the three in the Godhead. Of course, we know we have a separate Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but all three make up the Godhead. And we'll go through and look at a few passages that has to do with glorifying. I'll be honest, I hadn't thought about this a whole lot, about the different parts of the Godhead glorifying each other. In John chapter 12, begin with verse 27, we see Jesus speaking here. It says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause I am come unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then there came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by it and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake unto him." And Jesus answered and said, "The voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." Of course, we know this is the time when Jesus was nearing his crucifixion. In John chapter 13, begin with verse 31, "Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him." And then also John chapter 14, beginning with verse 12, Jesus speaking here says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So again, Jesus giving instruction to his apostles as he's getting ready to leave this earth. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul speaking here to the church at Corinth says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And so many times in the world today, we hear people talk about, it's my body and I'll do with it what we want. But as a Christian, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Next, we'd like to bring up Strong's numbers. The definition of Strong's numbers is basically a guy by the last name of Strong in 1890. He went through the Bible and listed out the words that were used in the Bible in the King James Version of the Bible. And each time they started in the New Testament, he counted, and also in the Old Testament. But these numbers represent what order those words are used. And the reason why that is because, like in the New Testament, the original text was in Greek, and sometimes we got words that were the same Greek word, but they translated into one or more English words. And a few of them that we're going to look at today, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, but Strong's number 4151, and I'm not going to attempt to pronounce that, but the Holy Spirit's used four times in the New Testament, and the Holy Ghost is used 89 times in the New Testament. But this word spirit and ghost here both come from exactly the same word. Some people are troubled by this because it was translated in English as different, but it is the same word. And then another word we'll look at is in 3056, where the word is translated as Christ seven different times. And then we see another word, 37 3875, comforter is used five different times. So we'll put, as we use these words, I'll put them in parentheses in the scriptures. So next we look back at our same chart we had of the Trinity as one Father, one Son, and one Holy Spirit or Ghost equals one God. And we know the Godhead is like I said, it's three in one, but it's all one God. And we want to look at several different passages now where the oneness is exemplified in the scriptures. John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus speaking said, "For I and my Father are one." In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, Paul speaking, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." 1 John chapter 5, begin with verse 6. "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, a spirit that beareth witness, because the spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one, and they are all, and there are three that bear witness in the earth, the spirit, the water, and the blood. These agree in one." Then we look over to the Comforter, which mentioned earlier, that's number 3875. And again, we see this word used in a different context as well. John chapter 14, begin with verse 15, Jesus speaking said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, that he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Then also in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 25, Jesus speaking said, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Then in John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus speaking here says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And again, Jesus is speaking unto us about that Comforter being the Holy Ghost. Then in 1 John chapter 2, and begin with verse 1, said, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." So again, here we see the word advocate used in this verse, again being the Strong's number 3875, which is also the Comforter. And then, as it talks about here in this passage as well, that word that we don't use every day, propitiation, but basically it says that Jesus became the substitute for us for our sins. He took our place on the cross. Jesus never had any sin. He didn't have anything to be to repent of. He didn't have anything to be forgiven of, but he gave his life for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Both Jesus and the Holy Spirit make intercession for us. In Romans chapter 8, again with verse 26, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." And also in Hebrews chapter 7, begin verse 22, "By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he, Jesus, is able also to serve, to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So we know that they were priests in the old, under the old law. But those priests passed away. But Jesus became a high priest for all of us forever. Next we look at the Holy Spirit. Again, this is word 4151. And these are the only four passages where the Holy Spirit is identified in English here. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, Jesus teaching his disciples said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask him?" And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul here speaking to the church at Ephesus, "In whom ye also trusted after you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." And also in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, again Paul speaking here, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." So it is possible for us to grieve the Holy Spirit by our actions. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 8, again, Paul speaking here to the church at Thessalonica, said, "He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit." So Paul's making a point of those that despise, they don't despise man, they despise God. Next, we look at several different passages that have the Holy Ghost listed in them. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." And also Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Luke chapter 3, beginning with verse 21. "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape, like unto a dove, upon him, and the voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we'd like to point out here that Jesus didn't have to be baptized for remission of sins as we do. He had no sin, but he did this as an example for us. And then we see from after he had done this that a bodily shape like a dove ascended down from heaven and said, "Thou art my son, in thee I am pleased. My beloved son, in thee I am well pleased." Then we see in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, where a story about Ananias and Sapphira selling some property and saying they gave all the money to the church when they didn't. But in Acts 5 and verse 3, it said, "And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" So we won't go on into all that story. Some of us are very familiar with that. But again, it was noted there that he said, "You've not lied to man, you've lied unto the Holy Ghost." Then in Acts chapter 5, verse 32, "And we are witnesses of these things, and so also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." Acts chapter 8 and verse 17, "Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And while Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whom I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost." So we see a account here of Simon, who was involved in sorcery and some things, and when he had the word preached unto him, he obeyed the gospel, and he was baptized. And then when he saw the other apostles laying on of hands to give the gift of the Holy Ghost there, it was there for a season until the word of God became fully formed and available to everyone, he offered to buy money for that. And they said that you know, that was a sin, and told him to repent of that and ask them to pray for him. Then in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, is Apostle Paul here speaking to the church at Corinth, says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" And we read this verse previously, but again, it's something for us to think about as Christians, that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Then also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, the Apostle Paul speaking here to the church of Thessalonica, said, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And you know what manner of men were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost." In 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So not only the prophecy in the Old Testament, but also the Word of God. It's those that wrote the Word of God. It came not from the word of man, but through the, as those were moved by the Holy Ghost. Then we look at baptism and the Holy Ghost. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, we see Jesus gives basically the great commission to his apostles there, and also that goes on to us today. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Then we look at Acts chapter 2, as Peter here is speaking on the day of Pentecost, when the church was first formed, and there were those there in that crowd that were physically responsible for crucifying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In verse 36 it said, "And therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, To repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children and all that are far off, which would be us, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and they were added unto them about 3,000 souls that day. And then we look on down to verse 47. It says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So we're thankful that the Lord does the adding to the church. We know there's places that vote on membership, but the Lord adds us to the church when we do the things that were bidden of him. And then we see here too, you know, in this account here on the day of Pentecost, that those that had a physical hand in crucifying our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you know, when they recognized what they had done, they realized, what can we do? We can't undo what we did. But they were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And, you know, none of us have probably ever done anything to come close to crucifying Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we know that our sin can be forgiven if we repent and we obey the gospel. So in summary, we look at the Holy Spirit dwells or abides in a Christian. Does it do so literally or figuratively? My understanding, it is figuratively. But the Holy Spirit is a comforter, is an advocate with the Father, maketh intercession along with Jesus when we pray, gives hope of one's resurrection to eternal life, but only to those who have obeyed the gospel. Those blessings are not available to everybody. They're only available to faithful Christians. So what must one do to be saved? What must we do to obey the gospel? First, we must hear the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, "The faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We must believe. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." We must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, just as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." We must repent and be baptized. And this repentance doesn't just mean being sorry for what we did. It means a true change in our lives. Just as we read earlier in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." We must remain faithful. Many in the world think that we obey the gospel and that's it. But we must remain faithful. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." And once we've done these things, sometimes we may fall away or need to pray for the church. But we can ask for that, just as Simon the sorcerer did in Acts chapter 8. We can pray for restitution and ask others to pray with us and for us. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, "Does to confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And you know, that's available for us today. Again, sometimes we just need prayers for strengthening. Sometimes we need prayers for forgiveness if we've fallen away or gotten out of the church or whatever reason. There's always, as long as time continues, as long as we're willing to repent, there is always time and opportunity. So you might say, "Well, I got more questions about the Holy Spirit now than I did before this lesson." And I'm telling you, there's a lot there. And there's some very good resources on the harvesteronline.com. Go to the Holy Spirit in the sermons and search, and there's four very good lessons there. And I've listened to all four of them several times. Two sermons by Brother Alan Daniel that he did on the Holy Spirit in 2023 at Oak Grove, and two sermons by Brother Harry Cobb that he did on the Holy Spirit in 2005 at Mount Carmel Road over in Georgia. And I'd like to just take this opportunity to think about how big a resource the Harvester is. This year is the 40th year, if I understand right, since the Harvester started. And it hadn't always been online, but around 20 years ago, I was talking to Debbie, they went back and put it online. Not only all the articles in the Harvester, but all these sermons are put on there. And then Debbie and Ben and Rebecca and their family, they went back and put every Harvester from 1986 all the way up till now are online for us. And then all these sermons from gospel meetings and so forth. And it's just a great resource. You know, a lot of times we start looking at commentaries and things and we're thinking like, is that in line with what we think? Because a lot of commentators, they write about whatever denomination they are in. But this is a great resource. It's written by Church of Christ people. The sermons are by Church of Christ people. And it's a great resource I think many times we overlook. So I'd encourage you to take advantage of that, not only studying the Holy Spirit, but studying all Bible subjects. Of course, this kicks off the meeting here today. We'll be here tonight at 6 o'clock, and Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock. Brother Ben McManus will have our lesson tonight on the Bible canon and connecting the Old Testament to the New Testament. Monday night, Tony Whitten will be speaking on signs of the end and how to prepare. Tuesday night, Caleb Whitten will be speaking on the principles of prayer. And also Tuesday night, Bryce Whitten will be speaking on no musical instruments. Wednesday night, Keith Dunlap will be speaking on baptism. Thursday night, Greg Moore will be speaking on the Lord's Supper and women remaining silent in the worship service. And Friday night, Alan Daniel will be speaking with the topic, God having our lives planned out versus free choice, purgatory, and paradise. And all of these recordings, if the Lord will, we'll have all these sermons added to the Harvester website as soon as they are available. That's our lesson for this morning. If there's any here today who have never rendered obedience to the gospel or been baptized, or those that have strayed away need the prayers of the church, if we could assist you in any way, we'd ask you to come. I'm standing and sing.